Welcome to Feeding His Sheep Podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today is Friday, so we're having Flashback Fridays, where I reach back into the archives of sermons that I preached some 20 years ago, and we seek to see what God would say to us in His Word. So take your Bible, and let's listen to God's Word together. You are here this morning by divine appointment. God has changed the direction that I thought on Thursday He would be leading us. So your bulletin notes won't be any use to you this morning. Make your way over to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I had anticipated preaching on when the fire of God falls. But God has said there's more preparation work that needs to be done. He wants to do some this morning. God desires this morning, through His Spirit, to set prisoners free. He desires to bring healing to sick souls. He desires to bring salvation. And you're here this morning because God wants you here. Remember last week when we talked about the preparations for revival, one of the preparations was to walk in obedience to the light of God. And I mentioned the light of God that comes through His Spirit, and the light of God that comes through His Word. This morning, God's Spirit is going to shine forth His divine light into some of your lives. And He's going to show you a work that He desires to do today in your life. Be obedient to His Spirit's leading. We'll give you an opportunity to obey His voice, and we want you to do that. Because you can walk out of this place this morning a different person. Because the Spirit of God is here to minister to you. The ministry of the Spirit in preparation for revival. Psalm 107. We have three pictures in this passage that we're going to be looking at this morning. Two of them have to do, I believe, with believers. Christians. And one has to do with the unbeliever. The first one has to do with a prisoner. Prisoners to sinful habits. Prisoners to sinful attitudes and thoughts. Sins of the flesh, such as immorality or sensuality, fornication, adultery. But more than just that, sins of the spirit, such as pride, and arrogance, and bitterness, unforgiveness, unbelief, doubt. But more than that, sins of the tongue, such as gossip, critical spirit, criticisms, backbiting, maligning. We have in our midst this morning prisoners to these sins. And God desires to set you free today. Look beginning in verse 10 as he talks about their condition. He says, there were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains because they heard the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Now that's the condition of those who are prisoners to sin and sinful habits. First, they dwell in darkness. Now, darkness equals sin in Scripture. Darkness equals the ways of Satan. Light equals the ways of God. And though we are children of the light as Christians, It is possible for us to walk in darkness. Now hold your place and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, Paul, talking to Christians, warns them about not walking in darkness, so it's possible for us to do so. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. God says it's possible for His children who are of the light to walk in darkness. And those of you that are prisoners to these sins are walking in darkness. Now turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Beginning with verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Some of you are saying that you have fellowship with God, but you lie because you're walking in darkness. Back to Psalm 107. Not only are they dwelling in darkness, but He says, and the shadow of death. They are in the shadow of death. I believe He's talking here about the sin unto death. You see, it is possible for a Christian to walk in sin, to walk in darkness. God says, I'm going to take your life that your soul might be preserved. You have become a detriment to My kingdom because of your sinful ways, and I'm going to take your life. Now, there is no particular sin that is the sin unto death. It is any willful, knowing sin that a Christian commits, he is on the road to the sin unto death. And the disciplined hand of God is released in your life when you knowingly and willingly sin. And if you continue to resist that hand of discipline, then there comes a time when God says, all right, that's it, I'm taking your life. And God prematurely takes your life. Look over in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We must realize that we deal with a holy God. He is a God of holiness. And He cannot and will not look on any sin favorably. Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 26. Willfully, you know you're sinning. You know you're transgressing the ways of God. After receiving the knowledge of the truth, it's not a matter of ignorance, you know it. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the test of witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and is regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of peace? When you continue to walk in darkness, when you continue to walk in sin, you are insulting the very Spirit of grace and the blood of Christ. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge His people. That's where the judgment of God starts first, on His people. We want judgment to fall on the homosexuals. We want judgment to fall on the fornicators. But let me tell you, judgment is going to fall on the people of God first. You're walking in the shadow of death. Only God knows when you've crossed that line. But let me tell you, it's a dangerous place to be. Back to Psalm 107. Prisoners in misery and chains. You have become the slave of that sinful habit, attitude, that sinful thought, not its master. Oh, you started off thinking you were the master. You could do this and put it aside, or you could do it and stop. But you have become the slave of it. It has become your master. You have been enslaved to it. And you are in misery. There is pleasure in sin for a season, the Scripture says. And there was pleasure in that sin for a while, but now God has brought you into misery. Because you realize that you are the prisoner now. That you're enslaved. That you're no longer the master. He goes on to say, verse 11, because they have rebelled against the words of God. You knew you were doing wrong. It was not a matter of ignorance, not deception, but it was rebellion. You willfully, purposely have disobeyed what you knew to be the truth of God's Word. You've turned aside. You've rejected God's purpose and plan for your life. God's purpose is for you to glorify Him, to walk in holiness and obedience, and you have rejected that for your life. And God's Spirit is showing you this message is for you. You know it. Verse 12, we see their cry. Therefore, He humbled their heart with labor. And that word in the Hebrew can be translated misery, and I think that's the picture. He humbled their hearts with misery. They stumbled and there was none to help. You must humble yourselves. You are staggering and there is no one to help you. You've been to humans, but they offer you no help. Your help is only going to be found in God. He's saying to you today, you must humble yourself. You must cry out to Him. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Now to cry out to God means you must humble yourself. You must cry out to Him. You must acknowledge that you are helpless, that you are imprisoned to this sin. And cry out to God and ask Him to set you free. And verse 13 says, He saved them out of their distresses. That word saved in the Hebrew means to be set free. And He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Verse 16. For He has shattered the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder. Picture that, brothers and sisters. He's talking about shattering into pieces the gates of bronze that would hold you as prisoners. He has cut the bars asunder. He will set you free from this sin. If you'll call upon Him, He's willing, He's able. Today, this morning, you can be set free from that slavery that you know you're in, that helplessness that you've experienced in trying to be free from this sin. Set you free. Hallelujah. Look at the praise of God that you'll experience in your heart when you cry and He sets you free. Verse 15. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness. For His wonders to the sons of men. That word wonders means miraculous acts. If you want to experience a miracle in your life this morning, you can experience it. Because He will break those prison bars. And He will shatter those. And you will experience deliverance this morning. If you'll call out to Him, you can be set free. The second picture we have is the soul that is sick. Some of you this morning are experiencing a disease in your soul. Beginning with verse 17, the condition. Fools, because of their rebellious way, and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. And their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gate. Fools, because of their rebellious way. You have rejected and rebelled against God's authorities in your life. You've rejected God's delegated authorities over you. You rejected your parents when you were younger. If you're a wife, you're rejecting your husband's authority over you. You're a contentious wife. If you're a man, you're rejecting your boss and his authority over you. You're constantly fighting against it. And because of your rebellious ways, because you have rebelled against God's designed order, you are afflicted with a disease in your soul. And because of your crooked behavior, the word iniquity means perverse and crooked ways. Because you've not submitted to the order and ways of God in your life, you're experiencing a sickness in your soul this morning. And because of that rebellion in your heart, you have rejected, you have abhorred all kinds of spiritual food. You've not received God's Word. Now you may have studied it. You may be going to Bible studies, but you hadn't received it. You see, you can get all the information in your head you want to. Satan doesn't mind that. But to be a hearer of the Word, that just brings condemnation. That doesn't bring any good things. You must be a doer of the Word. And though you have said in Bible studies, though you read your Bible, you have not really received the truth of God. You have twisted it to make it say what you want it to say. You have twisted it so you can get out of the passages that deal clearly with God's authorities for your lives. And the disease in your soul is great, and you are near to death. But look at the cry, verse 9. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Same word, He set them free. In verse 20, He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and healed them. That word there is the prophetic word. The spoken word. He sent His Word and healed their diseases. I want you to know that the prophetic word to you this morning is that God will heal your spiritual sickness. He'll heal your soul sickness if you'll cry to Him this morning. The healing is here. The fountain, the grace of God is here. And He'll do it. And He will deliver them from their destructions. That word destructions means the pit. You ever said, man, I'm in the pits? Well, when your soul is sick, you feel like you're in the pits a lot. You get depression. You get discouraged. You get in despair. But I want you to know that God can deliver you from the pit. He can deliver you from those pits and set you free. And look at their response. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness, for His wonders. This is a miraculous acts to the sons of men. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgivings and tell of His works with joyful singing. What you need to do is when you cry out to God and He heals your soul, you need to begin to thank God in those difficult situations. That's the Thanksgiving sacrifice. That's the sacrifice of Thanksgiving. When you look at a situation and you have absolutely no reason that you can see, humanly speaking, to thank God in that situation, and you have to sacrifice your mind because you can't see any reason to thank God. You have to sacrifice your heart because you don't feel like thanking God. You have to sacrifice your will because you don't even want to thank God, but you sacrifice Him and thank Him anyway. That's the sacrifice of Thanksgiving. And that's what the soul that's been healed by the power of God needs to do in those difficult situations. And tell of His works with joyful singing. The third condition is found over in the first part of this psalm, beginning with verse 4. I believe this has to do with the unbeliever. If you're here this morning, and you're not one of His, this is for you. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. This morning, you're wandering. There's no direction in your life, and you know it. There's an aimlessness in your life. There's a purposelessness in your life. You've not found the way to heaven. You've been doing some searching, but you haven't found it. It's not to be found in any of the New Age teachings. It's not to be found in any of the world religions. You've been looking. He goes on to say, they were hungry and thirsty, and their souls fainted within them. You are hungry. You know the emptiness of your life. You've tasted what life has to offer, and it's empty. It doesn't bring true satisfaction, and you know it. And what you need to do is cry out to God, verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. You must humble yourself before God. God, I need You. God, I want You. I am thirsty. I am hungry. I don't know the way. And He delivered them out of their distresses. He rescued them. And He led them a righteous way. That's what the word straight means. To go to an inhabited city. And you know what that inhabited city is? Heaven. Hallelujah. He will set you on the highway to heaven. If you'll call upon Him this day. The grace of God is here. He will save you if you will call upon Him today. He will set you free from your sin if you'll call upon Him today. He will heal your soul if you'll call upon Him today. He desires it even more than we desire. Go ask our deacons to come down front. As Butch, if you'll stand over here. Kenny, if you'll stand over here. Ben, I want you to come stand in the middle. We're going to give you an opportunity this morning. Chuck, go ahead and take a place. To humble yourself before God. You know God was speaking to you this morning. He has shown the light into your life, and you know it. And you need to respond to that light. You need to humble yourself by coming down and letting these men pray for you. You need to cry out to God, whatever your problem might be. We don't know. Nobody's going to know your problem when you come down, but you and God. And this man you pray with. But you got to humble yourself and come before God. You can be set free today. You can be healed, folks, of that bitterness, of that resentment, of that hurt in your soul. You can be set free from that addiction, from that sinful habit. You can find Jesus and be set on the high road to heaven. But you must humble yourself and cry out to God. Every time it says, and they cried out to God in their distress. Chuck's going to play. I want us all just to be in an attitude of prayer. I want you to stand. An attitude of prayer. You just slip out and you come down and ask these men to pray for you and receive what God wants to give you this morning. Step out. Step out in obedience to God. If His Spirit is wooing you, don't resist. Humble yourself before God. Receive what He wants to give you this morning. Don't leave until one of these deacons has had a chance to pray with you. Deacons, when you get through praying with one, move to another. Pray with him. God will give you the words to speak. It's His servant. I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of so they will look on him whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. And that day there will be great mourning in Jerusalem. And the land will mourn, every family by itself, and the family of the house of David by itself. In that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for iniquity. And it will come about in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they will no longer be remembered. And I will also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. Spirit of grace and supplication is here. Come this morning and receive what God has for you. The loving kindness of God is here. He desires to flood you with that loving kindness. For you to know His love. For you to know His forgiveness. He does not delight in the punishment of the wicked, but delights in those that repent and come to Him. Come to the light. Come to Jesus. Hear Jesus. Hear Jesus weeping over your sin. It breaks His heart. He died for that sin. It hurts Him. Oh, it hurts Him when His children sin. Let His tears break through your calloused heart. Turn from that sin. Be broken before Him. Jesus says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." God's Spirit is here in a special way. Don't resist Him. Respond in obedience. As Jesus wept over Jerusalem, He weeps over your sins that are not under the blood. You've not brought before Him and confessed. Hear the tears of Jesus. Hear His cry. Come to Him in confession and brokenness. Allow the Spirit of God to bring that healing deep in your soul. As someone here this morning that is hurt very deeply in your soul. It's so deep that you haven't even revealed it to your spouse, but you're hurting. Come to Jesus and let His Spirit heal you. Deep in your soul. Be set free from the guilt, from the pain that you've carried for so long. Step out in response. Humble yourself before God.